and gentlemen, your attention, please.
It's Tuesday.
New day is on the horizon.
Wow. Look who it is. My least favorite people ever.
Great to see you again.
Here we go.
Here's Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
It's great to be here in the Allstate Skyline Studios. What a beautiful day.
Hello, Pete.
Man, this is nice. Let me just tell the women on the show, I have four sisters.
Oh, boy. Here we go,
I have
Lauren.
Four sisters that I grew up with, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I know the feeling of when I am irritating people.
Do you think that you're irritating the three of us lovely ladies?
I know two out of three that I'm irritating.
You're not irritating me.
Are you sure about that?
Well, maybe a little
bit.
Well,
it's definitely not me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lauren.
I'm very distracted. Definitely not irritated.
Sometimes I'll talk to Ella and she'll look at me like, what are you saying?
Everybody
no.
looks
what
at you
is
like
wrong
that,
with
Pete?
You?
I just have RBF.
Me
too. Blame it on that.
Do you?
What is RBF?
No, you don't want to say it.
Yeah. What? Is that like a
resting
female thing?
Resting face.
Oh, no, you don't. You're a happy person. But I can just tell when the vibe is, Pete, don't talk to me off the air.
Here's what happens, Pete, with you. You get, you talk to 16 people at one time when you walk in the room, when you need to focus your attention on what's going on here.
I am greeting everyone as I'm putting together my little studio.
You, it's just flying by and there's just no communication. And I'm like, hello, Pete, we're good.
Are you sure about that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't get annoyed. I get happier.
I feel like
I don't
this,
get
is
annoyed
a date.
Either.
This is a date where the guy's like, are you upset? Are you mad at me?
No.
And then it's like, oh boy.
You know,
it's definitely
feeling,
not a date.
You have that feeling where, you know, that you just need to lay low.
It's like yes. You go in the other room for just a minute. No, uh-huh. I'm totally not. You're feeling something that's not coming off of any of our vibes right now. Did you do something that we should be upset
with? No, I didn't
with?
At all. Okay. I just kind of feel like you
know what it is, ladies? It's just I think you
want to hate a man today because of the weather, and I'm that guy.
Well, maybe we're just like glaring because we can't see outside, so it looks like we're mad.
Again, I grew up with four sisters, and I've been married for 18 wondrous years, and I can just tell when I shouldn't talk to my wife.
I think
that's the vibe
I'm
getting.
You are feeling out of place because you're not a girl.
Which is not good for a two-hour radio show.
First 8 minutes, we'll just get through it. How about that?
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have french fries coming in the studio today.
I'm so
is that
happy.
Right, Ella?
That's correct.
Yeah, that'll cheer everybody up.
Oh, and hot dogs, too. But that's just for us to enjoy.
But don't tell anybody, then.
You put ketchup on your hot dog?
Well.
What's your answer?
I know the correct answer is no, and I normally don't.
I do.
I do the pickles. Yeah.
You do? Yes, I do.
And I'm not going to.
This
I
is
do
why I'm not talking
you.
To you guys
I don't
today.
Care if people want to come down on you me
know,
for that.
You know what?
I don't even use ketchup anywhere else, not even on my french fries.
Why would you ever.
Admit it?
It's a Chicago, it's an unwritten Chicago rule, first of all.
I know.
Why would you put ketchup on your hot dog knowing that it's going to upset some people,
it
including me?
Every single person I'm around. That's why I do it, because I've got an edge and I want to upset people. And I, even if I don't do it, I say I do it.
I'm that guy that will call people out at the ball game. Absolutely. Dude, what are you doing? No. You're
then,
from Chicago. Where are you from?
Then what I do is I put the picture in front of you, and then I take a picture. And I go, look at this guy's got ketchup on his hot dog.
It's bad.
Why do you want to meddle in on other people's happiness?
I want them to be on the right path. And they're going to get ridiculed for the rest of their life if they're at a ball game with a hot dog putting ketchup on it. I don't want them to get in a fight down the road. I'm here to help. I'm a helper.
You're a peacemaker, Pete.
I really am.
That's nice.
That's what I do.
No, I think it's fine. Just don't talk about it.
It's fine, yeah.
I'm going to do it.
I can't
You're
wait for the next
it.
2 hours. This is going to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. There was an article in the Chicago Tribune about best french fries in town under $5.
This is a very exciting news.
And we're going to have some french fries in studio. And we're all going to sample and pick our own.
And have you heard about the new air fryers? They make french fries that taste like french fries, but they're air fried.
I think I've seen an infomercial.
probably don't think any of these three are coming from an air fryer, but we'll ask.
No.
I definitely don't think so, but I'm curious to see if it's that much of a difference because real fries are so good.
Are you an air fryer person?
No,
you have an air fryer?
I don't have one. My brother has one, so when I go to his house, we have air fried
stuff. What
do you
make in it besides French fries?
French fries?
Fried chicken, right?
Anything that you want to fry, you put in the air fryer, and everything's really good. That's my point.
Well, of course, it's fried.
But it's air fried.
What's the difference? How is it fried?
I don't have one. I don't know. I'm just the consumer of the air frying goodness.
Maybe we'll talk to the food people.
But I'm not. I do not discriminate against real French fries.
I love fried chicken. I love it.
I do too.
Chicken wings. I can eat. I'm not kidding. Probably 42 at one sitting.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, this is fun.
My sister Mary. Actually, my sister Di and Mary both worked, going back to the women in my life, worked at a chicken place in high school in Peoria. It was called Famous Recipe Fried Chicken. And they used to bring chicken wings home at the end of the day because, you know, you can't keep the chicken overnight.
So,
they'd send it home with the employees.
So how often are you eating chicken wings?
All the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was a...
Where do you get them?
I was a plump kid.
No, I mean here, right now.
Right now?
In today's world.
I don't know. If I go out to a bar or
someplace. So you still get them. You know, Kurtz, my fiance, is from Buffalo, New York. And I still can't get over not eating chicken wings every time I go to Buffalo. And I do want to eat 42 of them when I sit down, but I don't.
Is that a chicken wing capital? What is that?
Buffalo chicken wings is where that was invented, in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, God. I guess so. I've never really put two and two together. Really?
Yes, the Anchor Bar. It's where they first started them because she had leftover wings. Have you not ever seen this?
I've never even thought about it.
Really?
I never ever. First of all, I never think about Buffalo, New York ever.
I didn't mean either.
Until you bring it up because Kurt's from there.
But the best chicken wings on the planet. We have good ones here, but they are so delicious in Buffalo, New York.
So the Buffalo chicken wing originated in Buffalo, New York.
Correct, at the Anchor Bar. So the family, the mother that owned the Anchor Bar, the kids came home. They said, Mom, we're hungry.
Right.
She had leftover wings and they were going to throw them out. So she threw them in the fryer, put them with some hot sauce, and the chicken wing was invented.
God, now I want to go there.
It's so great. Every time I go, I'm like, we have to get chicken wings. So there's a couple other places where they have great chicken wings there. He's writing it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am writing it down. There's certain places that you have to go. Like in Chicago, there's food places where you want to, like for ribs, you want to go to the Gale Street Inn. You got to go there at least once and try the ribs there. Absolutely. There's certain places that you need to visit for food, right?
Yeah, for sure. So when you go to Buffalo, New York, you want to go to the Anchor Bar.
Okay.
And it's packed. Because everybody goes.
God, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I haven't really.
Now, Pete, did you not know that Chinese food came from China?
No, really? Did it? That's interesting.
I have a sad story about chicken wings.
Oh, boy.
You choked on the bone.
Oh,
no. It has to do with my cousin from Turkey.
Oh,
he was in town.
Oh, no.
And he was really excited because my other cousin, his brother, had ordered chicken wings for his last night in the city here. And he was going to go back to Turkey the next day. So he had these chicken wings, and then we had leftovers. So the next day, my cousin tries to surprise his brother at the airport, who was taken to the airport by his mom instead of his brother.
Right.
And so my older cousin didn't know, and he got through security before his brother could get to him. And he had one chicken wing with him. And he didn't get to give the last chicken wing to his brother.
Oh.
And my older cousin was so sad. But so was my younger cousin because he didn't catch up to him.
Can they send him the recipe in Turkey and he can make it there?
Seriously, why doesn't he do that?
Yeah.
You're right.
It's an easy solution. Yes.
Silver lining in that one.
Wise woman.
Thank you.
We will talk to Lori Lightfoot at 2:20.
We will not ask her about chicken wings.
No, not asking about chicken wings. What's the first thing you do when you get in the office?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a lot to do in this
city. She is inheriting a lot. She's a lot to do. It'll be a good conversation.
Right. Yeah. Definitely so. Mm-hmm. There was a story that came out yesterday in Grand Haven, Michigan. Let me ask you guys a question first before I go through the story. If you saw $20 on the sidewalk, would you walk past it or would you pick it up?
I would pick it up.
Pick it up.
Pick it up.
Would you
pick
keep it?
Yeah.
Would you keep it?
Yeah.
If I didn't see anyone drop it.
Yeah.
So this happened to me in New York a couple months ago. I was walking down the street. I saw $20. I picked it up, and there, I was outside a grocery store. So I looked in to see if somebody in the grocery store was theirs, and there was no one around. It had a receipt. I didn't know what to do with it. So instead, I gave it as a tip. I was looking for somebody who needed money, but I gave it as a tip to wherever I was leaving. I gave that person the money. So I didn't keep it.
Why not?
Why didn't I keep it? Yeah. I didn't think it was right to keep it, so I gave it to somebody else.
Why is that? Is that your own guilt?
I don't think it's guilt. I just didn't, it wasn't mine to begin with, so I wanted to help somebody else out if the person who lost it wasn't around.
You were trying to pay it forward, but you just gave away $20.
I did. And the guy was really happy.
I would have bought something at the airport.
Really? For your son?
No, for me. Like food.
Really?
Police in Michigan are appealing to people to surrender their instant riches after a box with $30,000 fell off the back of a truck. Authorities in Grand Haven say drivers stopped to pick up the cash for themselves as the truck was driving away.
Oh,
Cars pulled over and started picking up the money, and then they took off. So the Grand Haven Police Department issued a statement on Facebook and said, if you found money on this highway, you need to return.
Because they knew who it belonged to. It belonged to that truck, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's two questions. First question, would you return the money?
Yes.
And I already drove away with it?
Yes. You stopped. You picked up as much money as you could. You got back in your car and drove home or drove to work.
Did it? Yeah. I mean, how many people were out there picking up the money?
A lot, because they only have $2,000 out of the $30,000. So somebody's got a lot of money.
And then
they've only recovered $2,500. That's it.
Yeah, I put it right in savings.
U.S. Highway 31 in Grand Haven. It's pretty specific on Facebook, this message. Can you bring back the money? Is that your phone over there ringing? Okay, that's interesting.
Google is calling us right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that. Calling right in the studio. You can turn that down. Lauren, you'd return the money. Steve? Bertrand?
If it was off the back of a truck?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, then I'd return it because they have surveillance tape.
Do you think they have surveillance tape on the back of the truck? Yeah, for sure, if it's a money truck.
But the truck drove away.
No, but they...
The truck drove away, so don't worry about the truck. The truck's gone. So you're there on a highway. There's no cameras around unless, you know, you're in Chicago and you're on the tollway, but...
What would... You would keep it.
Now that I'm thinking about cameras. Absolutely, I would keep it. Because God wanted me to have that money.
I'd give it away.
God put me in that situation where a bundle of money fell off a truck in front of me on the highway. That's the way I look at it.
I don't know that I would even stop. I would probably just went right past the money blowing everywhere, being like, what was that? I can't pick that up. It's not mine.
What if you don't see the truck and you see all this money and you see people picking up money on the road?
I would think they were picking up litter.
Well, you can see the money as you're driving by.
I don't think I would stop.
Well, technically, I think it would be litter if it was...
Yeah, they are picking up litter.
You're right.
It was all over the place, yeah.
Now, if they didn't post anything on Facebook...
You just keep it.
Would you just have kept it?
Yeah. I mean, if I stopped and I picked up a bunch of money and no one posted anything and no one said anything, I'd probably keep it on the side for a little while, and then I would wait, and then I would either give it away or keep some of it.
You know, Steve's,
how much did I get?
Steve's got a great point, because there's cameras everywhere now. You got to remember that.
Yeah.
Ask Jussie Smollett. There's cameras everywhere. You got to be careful.
Right. They could be on the lights, too. I would even think, even though the truck drove away, if there's a camera on the back of it, it can still, you could still capturing you if people are pulling over right away, and you can zoom in.
Joe, you're on WGN. What do you do with the money? Do you keep it? What do you do?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Why did the driver or the people on the truck not see the money all over the ground?
The money, I guess they weren't paying attention because the money was on... in a box on the back bumper. So it was hanging off the truck.
Oh, as they were driving?
Yes.
Oh, I see. I would have kept the money.
Yeah. I mean...
That truck wasn't going to see you for a long distance.
Right. That truck was gone.
I don't know. Who's the driver that left a box of $30,000 on the bumper? Really?
Yeah,
Joe...
He should repay it.
That guy's fired.
That's how I used to buy my speakers in the 80s off the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah. There was a van pulling out in the Jewel. Hey, do you want to buy some speakers? You know, we didn't close this sale, but we just happened to have a pair of speakers in the back of our van. But here's the moral dilemma, Joe. They're appealing to people on Facebook now to return the money.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to work real well, honestly.
But you personally, even after the appeal, you would hold on to the money.
I probably would not. I'm just joking. I probably would not keep it. But, I mean, in those instances, I don't think any of those people are going to send that money back unless they have a cost.
No. I don't think.
I mean, maybe they'll get $1,000 back out of that $28,000 that hit the ground.
Man, somebody walked away with a lot of money. Thanks, Joe.
I want to know how many people stopped. If they had $2,000 left, there's $28,000 all over the roadway. How many cars stopped? 5, 10, 28? Did they get $1,000 each?
I don't know. It says here that two teenagers turned in $630.
That's all they're getting back.
See, that's the movie, the interaction of the 10 or 20 cars that stopped.
Right.
And then they stay in touch and there's friction. Should they return it? Are they going to turn each other in? All of that.
Was there any fighting, punching, pummeling to get that last $10 bill?
There's no connection. They just go on their way. And that's it.
And the other
Are you talking about the karma train catching up with them? Steve?
No, I'm just talking about, they're in contact. Clearly they're in contact because they're taking pictures of others' license plates. This is the 21st century, Pete. And then they're writing to each other, should we turn it in or not? And there's one do-gooder who wants to turn it in because he was busted for insurance fraud in the 80s. There's a whole story here.
This is a great plot, Steve. Yeah. Keep going.
Steve's writing a screenplay right now.
This is like a movie or a TV series.
Kevin, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. Would you return the money?
Well, I got to tell you, I had a similar story I'd like to share with you guys, if you don't mind.
Sure.
But about 20 years ago, my wife and I were driving past, we're at an intersection over here in Indiana, and there was a driver that pulled out of the gas station. He left his wallet and his checkbook on top of the car. When he pulled out, of course, it slid off the car. I immediately jumped out, and he had taken off. There was a substantial amount of cash in his wallet, and another car had stopped. They tried to pick up some of the money. But I had his checkbook, and he had just made a deposit. He was a local stockbroker, and he had just made a substantial deposit into his checking account, and it was the ledger had recorded over $10,000 deposit. I had all the checks. I had his wallet, and there was about $1,200 cash in his wallet.
Wow.
And at that time, my wife and I, a young family, I mean, trust me, I could have used the money desperately. But my gut feeling was... I had his driver's license. I called him. I met him, and I returned every penny of it, including the checkbook. And he offered me all the cash that was in his wallet. And I said, absolutely not. It just someday, if that ever happened to me, I would hope the same would happen for me, that somebody would return it.
Wow.
So I gave it all back to him.
You did the right thing.
He didn't take any money. How about a little reward?
No.
Did he give you a reward?
He offered me, yes.
He offered him the $1,200.
Oh.
He actually did offer me all the cash that was in his wallet.
Aww.
He goes, you know what, getting my checkbook back, getting my driver's license, my Social Security card, that means more to me than this cash. And I said, you know what, I just can't accept anything because I don't know. There was just a gut. I went with my gut, you know what I mean?
You always got to.
Yeah, but it was it made me feel better about myself, I surely could have used the money at the time.
Have you ran back into that guy any time in the future, or that was it, a one-time encounter?
No, it was a one-time deal. I don't remember his name. I don't remember much about him other than he was a local broker that, like I said, it just made a deposit and kept some of his cash.
I want to get spiritual for a second because maybe that was a test from above.
Mm.
You have to think about certain things in your life and encounters. Was that a test? Who knows?
I think it really was. And I had my very young family with me at the time, and I got my daughter looking out the window at dad standing in the middle of the road.
That option
was there.
Oh,
the moral dilemma
with the kids.
That's a great story. Did you think for one second? I think I want to keep this. I could use the money. Do you have that thought? That first thought?
Of course. Come on, Kevin.
It's always the first thought, and then you act on the second
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely, I had that thought because, I mean, young family living on at that time, probably $200 a week, I was a tradesman just into the trades, and I was like, gosh, I could really, really hang on to this. But I got home, and I got a wife that's and more honest than the day is long. And she looked at me and I said, no, I got to do what's right. I got to call this guy. And I did.
Now I feel like a bad person. I'm taking the money.
You brought me to tears.
Jeez.
Well, yeah, but, you know what? Life is short, you know?
It really is.
Try to do the right thing.
You did the right thing. Wow. Thanks for sharing that story.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, right. And have a good day.
All right.
Wow. Good guy.
I need to be a better person.
You do. Don't keep the money. Return the money.
312-981-7200. It's Pete and Jane on 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Yesterday's news click, if you go to WGNradio.com, you could click on the news click. What do you think of the Bears draft pick? A, they got the running back of the future, Super Bowl.
Here we come.
B,
that's my click.
It's a lot of guys who won't play for a while, but this will do. Or C, worst draft ever.
Worst draft ever.
And the news click winner was, it's a lot of guys you won't see play for a while, but will do at 64%. Yeah. No one followed the draft really in Chicago because
we gave up so many rounds. It was at a wait and wait. I finally understand it. Last week I didn't understand. Now I do.
Well, we talked about that. They got a stud running back. Supposed to be good.
Good. But
why was he around at number 73?
That's what I always
wonder. And again, the Bears traded up. They had like number 87, mm-hmm. and they traded up to 73 so they could grab this running back.
I waited so long to see the pick, I missed it.
Oh, well. Cochran had Eddie George in the studio today.
Yeah.
Do you want to check that out on the website?
I love Eddie George.
God, he's in great shape. Man, he's in good shape. Charlie McMurray graduates this year from eighth grade.
I can't believe Charlie McMurray is graduating from eighth grade already.
Eighth grade
He's
graduation.
A big kid.
I want you to think about when you graduated from high school.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have any clue what was going on in life?
No, I knew I was the class president, so I had to give a speech. That's all I thought about.
Oh my God, that's right. You gave the speech at your commencement.
I did.
What did you talk about?
I don't remember. I talked about how.
Where did you go? Stag?
No, I went to Andrew High School in Tinley Park. Go All Thunderbolts. Right. And now I'm going to talk about this. And anyone who went to Andrew and was in my graduating class, we called ourselves the Awesome 89ers. And so I'm sure my theme was about how great this group of people were.
Elif.
I'm going to cry.
Would you expect anything less from Jane than being the class president and giving the speech at her graduation?
Definitely wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
My mom made me practice in an empty church just so I could feel what it was felt like to stand in front of a big crowd.
Wait a second. Barbara took you to church and made you go through it?
Yeah, I had to practice on a podium with a microphone. But there was no one in there. It was empty.
I understand that.
Stood up in front of anybody and spoke, ever.
What? Really?
I don't think so.
Wow, that's impressive.
I needed the practice, though.
Did you have any idea, though, what you were going to do after? I know you were going to go to college, but did you know what you were doing in life?
No, not a clue. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, maybe I still don't.
There's a reason I bring this up, because a high school in Baldwin, Mississippi, offered a one-day crash course for seniors called Adulting 101.
Hold on a second.
A one-day crash course called Adulting 101.
Isn't that what your parents teach you for the first 18 years of life, adulting?
Kids don't pay attention.
To their parents.
They don't pay attention.
To the parents.
Right.
So they're going to listen to a stranger or a teacher tell them in one day.
This is the smartest idea and should be offered at every high school in America.
Does Charlie listen to you when you're adulting him?
Never. Mm. If I want to get something through to Charlie, I'll tell one of my friends to tell him.
Oh.
Or my brother Dave, who's his godfather. Oh. Dave, you need to tell Charlie to work on this. Kids don't listen to their parents.
They don't want to listen to their parents.
Adulting 101 at Baldwin, Mississippi. In Baldwin, Mississippi, at Baldwin High School, the course taught high school seniors things like checking the oil on your car.
That's good.
Did your mother or father teach you to do that?
Never. I still don't. I still couldn't do it.
Checking the oil on your car. Elif, were you taught that?
No.
Could you do it today? Check the oil in your car?
I don't have my own car, so it's
the answer
is
no.
Don't care.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Cars are more complicated.
But I think it's important. Well, I think it's important.
Would you check the oil in my car, please?
Can you do that? Can you run down?
I can do it for practice for when I do have a car.
Checking the oil on your car. My father, Big Ed, was an engineer at Caterpillar.
So he brought all the kids
out. For 35 years. And at a young age in grammar school, he taught us how to change oil.
Were all the boys there together and the girls?
The girls were not. It was the boys. And then he would take that oil that he just got out of the car and walk behind the garage and just throw it on the ground. Like, is that right?
So you would. Is that what you do now with the oil in your car?
I go to a guy.
Yeah, you got a guy.
I got a guy.
I know.
But no one teaches you to check the oil in your car. When was the last time you checked the oil in your car? Do you know how to do it?
No, I bring it to the place.
Adulting 101. How about changing a tire? Could you change a tire if you were in the middle of nowhere and get that little jack out now?
No.
Try to jack up your
car? I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Hmm.
I suppose if someone showed me how to do it, I could do it. I'm strong enough.
You go off to college. Kids need to know how to take care of their car. Adulting 101.
Right, because then the parents get the phone call from, at, 2 o'clock in the morning. Mom, my car is dead. It's overheating. I've done that before.
Nutrition and fitness, they were taught what to eat and not to eat in college.
This one, I think, is smart, especially when you're going off on your own and you need to start eating three meals a day.
Freshman 15, Jane.
Yeah. But what about the physical education you were taught in high school and grade school and eating, dinner with your parents? Like, mm-hmm. That should be instilled in you from the first 18 years.
Right. I agree 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Adulting 101 at Baldwin High School in Baldwin, Mississippi, taught kids how to pay bills.
That's smart.
You need to teach kids about credit cards because those credit card companies are available anywhere. 0% interest. You need money.
They're going
after. We'll give you a cash advance.
All
here you
the
go,
college
kid.
Kids.
You got it.
Yeah. It's free money.
I'll never forget this. And this is one of the reasons why I never had a credit card for years. It's because my senior year, I had to pay for my second semester at Bradley. I had no money. I had to open a credit card and get a cash advance.
Oh,
two
you
grand.
Put the whole thing.
Yeah.
Two grand? Was your whole second semester? I mean, that's not what I paid.
No, that's all I had left. Loans, I had to pay that.
Uh-oh.
Cash. Student loans, made payments. I worked through college. I had $2,000 left second semester, so I opened a credit card at 24%.
The interesting thing about you is then you closed that card after you paid it, and you didn't get one for another 25 years.
You're absolutely right.
Whoa.
Not 25 years. I waited until 2012.
And you graduated college?
1989.
What?
So
I did.
22, 3 years.
I never had a credit card.
Yeah. Didn't you go on vacations and
I did,
stuff
and
that
I
you
made
didn't
somebody
pay for?
I made somebody else pay every single time and I brought cash and I gave
and
them money.
And then you make people pay you in cash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, but then they get all the points and you get zilch.
It's okay.
It's called money laundering.
Nobody did know about points in the 90s. You go to Vegas with your buddies. It's like, okay, you put the room on your credit card. Here's $200. Here it is.
But what about you if you want to rent a car? You have to have a credit card.
I didn't have to rent a car.
You never
did? When
did
I rent a car? When I got married. Well, I think was the first time I rented a car when we flew to Hawaii.
And you didn't have a credit card.
My wife used your credit card.
This is so interesting. And he doesn't eat donuts either.
Never.
That's another fun fact about him.
Well, that I know.
Adulting 101. Do not eat donuts after you graduate.
That is an adult.
That goes back in the nutrition and fitness section of that class.
It's funny to me that Adulting 101, and you're the guy who made everyone pay for you for 22 years.
I did pay them cash, because cash is king.
Pete's actually not an adult. He's a kiddult. That's what we like to say.
Personal hygiene. You're taught here. People need to be taught hygiene. Your feet stink.
Are you serious?
You have BO.
Does that go into doing laundry too?
I think so. Yeah.
You got to shower. You should know this. Charlie McMurray has personal hygiene, correct?
I know, but every teenage boy smells like feet. They all do.
Gross.
It is. They stink. Their room stinks. Yeah. Everything they have stinks.
The clothes smell like a dirty hamper.
We have Fresh Wave in everything. You name it, it's in everything. Every single bag, in beds, underneath beds, in shoes, everything.
How many boys in your family again? Seven?
Eight boys.
Imagine poor Betty Ann.
Oh, it's horrible.
You know what I
my
hate?
God.
I hate when you walk by someone and you can smell their hair.
Oh, no.
Or like they smell like scalp.
Like, well, it's actually when you hug them, you can smell scalp.
Wait a second. What does scalp smell
you
like?
You know the smell of scalp.
You know no, when you smell it.
I do not know what scalp smells like. What does it smell like?
It just smells like someone who hasn't washed their hair.
It smells like scalp.
Ask Joe Biden.
Yeah, ask Joe Biden.
What are you guys talking about? Wow.
Trust
Come
me.
On, Pete, catch
I've
up.
Experienced that smell.
Wow. Okay.
It's not fun.
What about too much cologne? That should be taught in this class.
I don't think people wear cologne anymore. I don't think that's part of it.
Oh, there's a few guys that I work with. If you go to a music station, they're wearing cologne.
Well, that's because they're living in the 70s.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. And finally, Baldwin High School, Adulting 101. It was a real class taught on a Saturday, how to dress in the workplace, which is true because people don't know how to dress
Period.
For work.
People don't know how to dress. We just, well, because everything is so casual now. And now, what is dressing in the workplace anymore? Your jeans are okay. You know, no one's wearing those business suits.
Right. It just depends.
At Bradley, they taught us how to dress for a PR office, and you had to wear a suit, and you had to have your hair in a bob.
What class, what blow-off class was that that I missed?
It was within, like, how should you dress for this job interview
You're
type
kidding.
Of thing.
No one taught me that.
They didn't?
No. Oh. Uh-uh. That's why I went in the radio. I didn't have a suit at the time. 312-981-7200. What are they forgetting here? Adulting 101. How about doing laundry?
Well, I would think that's in the hygiene arena.
I don't think people are taught that at a young age, especially now with the helicopter parents. Because I took a course. I mean, I took a course. I had a course with Charlie to teach him how to use the washer.
That's okay. And you know what? No, what's important is the dishwasher, because you'll eventually have an apartment that you live in college. Mm-hmm. And my roommate and I, Kim, we put in dishwashing liquid into our washing machine, and the whole kitchen was full of suds.
Yeah, I did that once, Jane.
Isn't that, it's just a bear to clean up.
Why would you ever do that? Didn't you see the episode on the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
When that happened?
Yeah, it's great. It went all the way from the laundry room into the kitchen.
You can't do that. You can't. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line, Adulting 101. What do kids need to be taught? I mean, I would have loved to take a course like this when I was a senior in high school.
I think it's a great idea. One-day mm-hmm. course, a full semester. No, not so much.
So think about that. We'll take a break and take some calls next on 720 WGN. Okay. 720 WGN, Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're talking about a class called Adulting 101 that Baldwin High School in Baldwin, Mississippi offered seniors. A one-day course just about life. Changing the oil, changing a tire, nutrition and fitness, basic money management. Wouldn't you like
important stuff?
What would you have liked to be taught back in the day? Bill, you're on WGN. Hi.
Yeah, you mentioned about what should kid learn today. First, you got to teach the parents how to teach the kid.
You got to teach the
parents. Because most parents don't know how to do anything today either
important.
Because everybody grew up, most all the people grew up now. Had everything given to them or never really appreciated anything. Everything they thought was disposable. When I was a kid, you kept everything and you learned everything. I was born and raised in the country on a farm, and I had to do everything. I had to do everything from wash clothes, dishes, to cut grass, all that stuff. Kids
right.
today don't do a thing.
That's the thing. You had to do that to survive. You really did.
It wouldn't survive. It wouldn't survive. It was you were told to do it.
Just what you
that
did.
That was a part of life.
Yeah.
Definitely so. Thank you, Bill.
That's good stuff. Teach them the basics. Get them working.
Bill sounds like a rough one. He's kind of scared me a little
Born
bit.
Born out in the country.
Lie. John, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, you should teach them how to shake hands, not just for a job, but just meeting somebody.
Absolutely.
So many people don't know how to shake hands. They're either got their hands wimpy as hell or they don't shake hands at all.
Do not give me the dead fish and look me in the eye when you're shaking my hand. Absolutely.
There you go.
Boys and girls for that shaking hand business.
That is great. Thank you,
John.
Have
you ever shaken the hand? It feels like a limp fish. And then it's kind of wet and clammy.
I hate when I shake someone's hand and you get the wrong shake and it's like a half shake and I always ask for the shake back.
It's
like, that was a bad shake. Can we do it again?
Sometimes your hands just don't match up and you just kind of get the fingertips and you're like, no, I'm not a bad handshaker. Let's do this again.
309 area code. Good grammar.
You good grammar is important. Kids.
You know what's interesting? Good grammar. We're talking about being outside and doing things. You know, technology takes over a lot more these days. So we're not writing proper grammar. We're writing in slang. We're not speaking. We're not shaking hands because we're not interfacing. So I think a lot of that has to do with our technology that the kids are into.
630, reading a paper map. That would never happen. Do they even make paper maps anymore?
Yes, of course.
Are you sure about
Triple
that?
AAA, just go get a whole set if you're going on a road trip.
I got the app. What do I
remember
need it for?
In the 90s being in Los Angeles with some friends I worked with in radio. And we had, they just moved there and they had these paper maps filling up the entire front seat on the 404. We're trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B.
I remember in the 90s when we had paper
There's
maps.
There's no way we could do that now.
Debbie, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. I raised four boys, so I understand about the boys' smell. I have one that is still a germaphobe now, but the three younger ones, it wasn't until their friends' mothers told them that they smelled that they started being more careful about their hygiene, because when I would tell them, they just said that my nose was more sensitive than everybody else.
Of course they did.
That is so true. I'm telling you, the kids don't listen to their parents. Thank you, Debbie. And let's go to John. John, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Two things. One is table manners, and the other one is don't say 25 cent. It's 25 cent. It's plural.
Correct.
And these kids don't know how to say that anymore.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw a kid carrying money? Everything is electronic nowadays. They either have a credit card or it's on an app. My son has a Starbucks app, and he's got Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Right. When you get changed back, though, here's your 25 cents.
Yes, yep, John, and you know what else? What the other thing they say a lot is, "Where do you stay?" What do you mean, "Where do I stay? Where do I live?"
Where do you
what
stay?
What part of town do you stay in? What? I don't stay anywhere. I live somewhere. I'm like, what are you talking about, stay?
Thank you, John. That is so true.
I think one of the important things that I recognized out of college is work etiquette. You're in school. You maybe show up. Maybe you don't. You know, for class, I got to get there on time. You do your homework. Yeah, it's kind of lax. You think you're a senior and a big shot. When you get a job, you got to be there on time.
Oh yeah.
You got to stay there all day.
Yep.
You just can't run out to say hi to your friend on the street.
Nope.
You have to stay at your desk unless you're taking a break for lunch. But typically, you're not going to do that unless your boss is like, okay, go take your lunch break.
Right.
You got to know. You can't just leave.
That is true.
You don't realize that in college because you just come and go as you please.
Yeah, you have all the freedom in the world, and then you have to buckle down.
Your first job, you cannot do that.
312-981-7200. We were talking about a high school in Baldwin, Mississippi that offered a course to high school seniors called Adulting 101, where they just teach you common sense things like fixing your car,
taking a shower,
personal hygiene, Adulting 101, checking the oil on your car, basics of money management.
Doing the laundry, was that one of them?
Doing the laundry was my suggestion. Mm. Yes, kids need to be taught that. 312-981-7200, 630 area code. Kids need to understand how to stay out of credit card debt. I agree 1,000%. They need to be taught that at a very young age. Yes. Jim, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Well, my son, when we lived in Woodstock, he was going to DePaul. So I would tell him, call me by 6:30 or 6:35, I'm calling you. So he did pretty good waking up on his own. But one time he didn't call, and I called him up, and he says, hey, Dad, I just don't feel like going to class. I says, well, are you sick? And he went, no. He says, I just don't feel like going. I says, all right. Well, him and his sister, they both got bank accounts that me and my wife could get into. So I said, all right, well, if you don't want to go to class, don't go to class. I said, but just so you know, I'm going into your bank account later, and I'm going to take out $175. And he goes, what for? I says, well, it cost me about $175 a day to send you to college.
That's right.
If you don't want to go, you don't get, I get the money. I said, I don't go to work. They don't pay me. You don't go to school. You pay me.
Oh, my gosh. Is that genius?
I think it's great, Jim.
And he went to school.
Good.
I love that.
Way to teach them.
You got to break it down for these kids.
I don't feel like going to school. What? Well, I don't feel like going to work. Yeah, we go to work every day. Well, what makes me mad?
But I now
don't even get me started.
I understand we sound like our parents, but back when you're in college and there's nobody around.
I know. It's easy not to go, especially those 8 a.m. classes.
Oh, brutal. Beth, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I have a couple suggestions. When you're talking to someone and having a conversation, make eye contact.
Yes.
That is so
true. And also, when you're having a conversation, either in a group or the dining room table, put the phone away.
It drives me berserk.
Phone's not allowed.
I love when you go out to dinner.
If I had kids or a family, I would have a basket in the bathroom or in the basement where everybody's throwing their phone in. Dinner time is to have conversation. I go to restaurants, and there's six kids at the table, and they're all texting,
right,
and they're all talking to each other. Their heads are down. They never make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
Unbelievable. And another thing is, while I'm on the subject,
go back.
I lived in Seattle, right by the Puget Sound, and I was a minute walk to the boardwalk. And I'd have Mount Rainier with the snow on the one side, the Puget Sound with the sunset on the other side, and I see a mother, father, and a young kid. The father's listening to music, the mother's on the cell phone, and the kid is playing a video game, walking down the boardwalk in this beautiful sunset with the ocean and the mountain with the snow on it. They're not even paying attention to nature.
Not even paying attention. I agree 100%.
No,
people
need in their basement.
They need to put their phones down 100%. We have a rule when we have dinner or go out to eat. Don't put your phone on the table face down. Just leave it in your pocket.
Just leave it in your purse.
Right.
Don't bring it up. People do put their phones face down on
the
table.
Why is that? Well, I'm going to have dinner. I'm going to put my phone down just in case.
Well, who's going to call if your wife and your son are there? Who are you waiting for?
I don't know. I don't know why people do that.
There's no other important people that are going to be calling me right now.
I have no idea. I don't understand. You're only at dinner for an hour.
I know.
It's not like the world's going to stop.
I actually love it when I text somebody and they don't text me back right away because I'm like, oh, they've walked away from their phone.
Oh,
this is great.
Drives me crazy.
Oh, they don't text back. They're at dinner, Pete.
I understand, but at 12 noon during the day, I want to text right back immediately. Judy, hi, you're on WGN.
Hi. You know what really drives me crazy is, you know, these young adults that have gone through high school, college, graduated, and say, me and Mike are going to go, instead of being proper and saying,
mm-hmm,
Mike and I are going to go. Everything is me first, you know?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Drives me up the wall.
Yep.
It's important to remember. Yeah. I mess up. I do that a lot just because
too.
It's easy.
I know.
It's a slang.
It is.
It's good, Judy.
Proper grammar. Tyler, you're on WGN.
Hi there. First time, long time. I wanted to say that I think it's the worst thing here to say that we shouldn't teach these kids in school about these basic needs that need to be learned. Well, if they're not being taught by the parents, then they come out into the world not knowing how to do things like change the oil or, you know, doing basic economics, you know, who's that really fall on? You know, you can complain all you want about the kids. You know, I'm a millennial. I'm 36 years old, pushing 40 here. And I see in the newspapers there, do you blame us for, like, Applebee's closing down?
We blame you guys for everything.
Tyler, it is your fault.
That mall closed because of you, Tyler.
I know it. I just wish that we took a better approach, I guess you'd say, to her. Teaching these kids some stuff other than what gets us better standardized test grades that gets our broke schools money. I mean, they're learning stuff that a lot of them aren't ever going to use. I have a scientific calculator on my cell phone that's on me all the time, and I can do all these functions there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I mean, yeah, we got to find out, you know, the engineers of the future and help them advance with their math. But for the most part, let's just teach them how to, you know, the voting process. You know, walking into a voting booth,
right.
What do you do?
Yep, the basics like that. Thank you, Tyler, for the call. 312-981-7200.
I like it. The millennial reached out.
I love this class, though, that they offered at Baldwin High School in Baldwin, Mississippi, Adulting 101.
I love
it's a one-day course.
I love that it's a one-day course.
Yes.
If it was like 4 weeks, sense. I don't like that. But give me a one-day course, cram in all the info you get. And by the way, you have to show up on time. You can't leave early, and there are no breaks.
Every child out there should know this. Each of you, one day, can be the mayor of Chicago.
I absolutely love that acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. I thought she nailed it. She is the first African-American female and the first openly gay mayor to be elected mayor of Chicago. She made history. Very impressive. She'll be sworn in May 20th as the new mayor of Chicago. Let's welcome in Lori Lightfoot. Lori, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Lori,
great.
Very busy right now. What are you working on right now in the transition team? What is happening?
Well, we're working on a range of different things. First, making sure that we understand the challenges and opportunities with this new government, making sure that we've got a full complement of staff to run agencies, the mayor's office. And then we're engaging with the public through our transition committees who are looking at a number of different initiatives from the arts to youth to transportation to public safety and so forth. So we're operating at a lot of different levels, but so far, so good.
So far, so good, and we're excited for you. A lot of things to take care of, a little bit overwhelming, and you're, you know, working on it right now. One of those things is working on crime and violence in the city. We're getting a lot of negative media attention nationally. You're currently in a two-day meeting to curb summer crime. Tell us what's happening there.
Well, what we're doing is we're talking to various stakeholders, from law enforcement to city agencies, to make sure that there are comprehensive plans to engage communities, make sure that our youth have productive activities over the course of the summer, all with an eye towards making sure that we keep our communities as safe as possible.
Murders go up during the summertime. I know you've been meeting for the last 2 days. Eddie had a news conference today, and he said that the plan basically is we're going to try to do what we're always going to try to do is reduce violence, but he didn't give much details. Can you give us a little bit of something that happened in the meeting that you're going to change around this summer that didn't happen last summer?
Well, we've had a series of discussions. Yesterday's meetings was with our federal, state, and local partners to make sure that there's a coordinated effort to address the violence, focusing on those areas in the city where we're seeing concentrated violence, making sure that we're addressing the retaliation cycle that drives so much of the violence, and coordinating resources on all these different levels. So that's kind of one dimension of it. But as we all know, we can't arrest our way out of this problem, and this is not a challenge that is the sole province of law enforcement. That's why today we're going to be meeting with a lot of different city agencies, from CPS to the parks to the Department of Public Health, and really everything in between, so that there is a plan to make sure that we're involved in healthy activities all right. across the city, so we can keep our young folks occupied in things that are really going to be good for them, that will expand their experiences, but do it in a safe and productive environment.
It's about the programs.
A lot of prep going in to all of this work that you're going to do when you take office. What's the first thing you do on day one?
Well, what we're working on is a plan to address aldermanic prerogative. You know, it's no secret that I'm not a fan of it. I think it has a lot of negative and corrosive effects on government. So we're talking with a lot of different stakeholders to craft an executive order that's going to address that issue. So that's going to be a big thing on day one, and really just kind of setting the tone for good governance and integrity in government. We've got a lot of challenges that we've been faced together as a city, as communities. We can't do that if people don't have confidence in the mayor, if people don't have confidence in government, and making government much more responsive and accountable to the people is something that I'm going to be working on from day one.
Boy, that is so true. We're talking with Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot. Now, people always want to come to you with the problems. You got that pension bill, $276 million. Where do we get that money?
Well, look, I think we've got to take a long view of this because it's not just about doing something this year. We've got a structural problem with our pensions, and we have to come up with a comprehensive solution. So I've had a team of financial experts really digging into the details, making sure that we understand the magnitude of the just not the pensions, but the financial challenges that we face as a city, and then coming up with concrete solutions to address them.
Lori, I got to tell you, I loved your acceptance speech. Because you had a line in there, and here it is. You said, "We may be strangers, but in this room, in this city, we are all neighbors." And at that moment, it's like, okay. My wife turned to me and she's like, "I really have faith in this woman."
Yeah, absolutely.
First of all, it's a woman that's in office. She loved that. And secondly, it's like, finally, we've got a woman in charge that knows what she's doing. You have a lot of pressure on you, but I feel like you have an open mind as you take this job.
Yeah, that's right. And I got to tell you, it is incredibly humbling, the outpouring of support and confidence and hope that people have bestowed upon me, not just on Election Day, but literally every day since. I take that to heart, and I'm going to work hard every day to make sure that I earn the respect and the support that people have given me. I don't take that for granted at all. It is a real gift. And I want to do everything I can to earn it.
I love
that's
that.
I do too. Lori, you're a Chicagoan. We're all Chicagoans. We love our city. We're proud of our city, just like you are. What do you think makes Chicago the best city on earth?
Well, I mean, even on a cold and rainy day like today, there's a spirit in the city amongst its people, hope and optimism. You know, we're not shy about offering up our opinions. We love our city. We love our sports teams. We love our neighborhood. But it is that diversity that I think makes us truly great, and that people are proud of being from Chicago. Even in difficult circumstances, people love that they're from this city.
You made history as the first openly gay mayor and the first African American female mayor on May 20th. How emotional will you be on that day?
Well, it's going to be a very sentimental day for me. I expect my mother and members of my immediate family to be here. And for where I come from, to have the incredible honor of being sworn in to be the mayor of the third largest city in the country, is a pretty high height. And I know that there are some young people coming from my high school in my little town in Ohio who have been kind of studying the election and studying my campaign as part of their civics class. So they're going to be here. So that you know, tying me back to my roots and the things that really made me and shaped me into the person that I am here today, I'm going to be thinking a lot about that. I'm also going to be thinking about the people that I've met along the journey and carrying them with me. And certainly that will be reflected in the speech that I give that day.
I've always said that you're one person away from anybody on the planet in Chicago, and I want to thank you because I've run into you five different times, most recently at Chicago Cut Steakhouse when I was running to the bathroom, and then at the DePaul College Prep fundraiser, and I called in a favor to a mutual friend, Mary Dempsey. She's done things all over the city, and she connected us together, and you made this happen because you wanted to speak to the people here at WGN Radio, and this is a great platform for you.
It is. I love and have fun every time I'm on any one of your programs, whether it's on the radio or TV. So I thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we're so honored, and we thank you for coming and sharing a couple minutes with us.
Well, my pleasure, and have me back.
And absolutely. Good luck. Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you
thank
soon.
You. Absolutely.
All right. That is Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot.
Out there tonight, a lot of little girls and boys are watching. They're watching us, and they're seeing the beginning of something, well, a little bit different.
Food, glorious food. What would we do?
I don't know what it is with radio people and food, but once they smell food, they come running in.
Swarming all over
the place. Oh, my God. I haven't seen Lauren's face all day, and here she is right in the studio. And
I just needed to make sure you knew I was real.
And Kevin Powell is here.
Hello, Peter.
Nice. And joining us from the Chicago Tribune, what are the best fries in the city that are under $5? We're going to find out with Nick Kinzelperger and Louisa Chu. Thank you for coming in. When did you guys, did you do this article?
When did we do it? We did it last month. We actually, we ate fries for probably like a good month.
Did
and
you get
then,
tired of them?
Okay.
You know, yeah, a little bit. But
I
every single time you had a good fry, it was like, yes. I mean, it was.
Can we stop right there for a second? We ate fries for a month.
Right.
For work.
I'm going to pitch this idea to our bosses here, Pete at WGN. You know, I just want to try all the best steaks in Chicago for a month.
Been there, done that.
Here's the bill. Here's the bill. Thank you.
Been there, done that.
Right. We did. Fortunately, the bill veteran move. This many fries wasn't too much.
Nah.
But that's, we wanted to find the best fries, and my mind just shut down because so many places have fries. How do you even begin?
Right. What
to
do you do?
That? So I started creating a list. And I thought I would find like 40 or 50 places that served fresh cut fries in Chicago. And then the list grew to 106.
Wow. And that was like, we had to whittle down that list and put up rules. Like, first of all, these are all fresh cut fries.
Right.
And then we were like, you know what? Even if Alinea made fries, would you go there just for the fries? We wanted to have a, like a price limit. You know, so we were saying $5 because everybody can make a decent order of fries for under $5. So not only is it fresh cut, they're all under $5, and they are all over the city. So not just like hot dog stands, but like bars, restaurants, you know, and so you'd be amazed. And the amazing thing, too, is that a lot of these places, they're just like, oh, wait, don't order just fries because we're just going to give you fries, too, with the other food that you order. So it's pretty amazing. The quality of fries that we have in the city is pretty much unlike any other place in the world.
So what are the qualifications to make the top 20?
So
what do you have, Nick?
So to make it, obviously, the fresh cut is the paramount rule. So these places are just buying whole potatoes, and they have these French fry cutters in their kitchen. So they're just putting the potato in there, smashing it down, and then usually that goes right into oil at a sort of lower temperature to cook it until it's soft and creamy on the inside. Then they take it out. And then when you order it, they fry it in hotter oil to crisp it up. And
that's how you get the quick fry. That's how you get that. Yeah. And was there like, when you were tasting all these, did one of you like mushy and somebody else like over crispy? Was there sort of a balance between the two? Was there like a north side, south side thing going on?
The good thing is that Nick and I are very inclusive. And we should say that actually our whole food and dining team are very inclusive in the different styles of fries. So you'll see from our list that like our number one is not like a super crispy crunchy. It's like barely whisper thin crisp. I kind of describe it almost like a tempura sheath around potato. And then some of the other ones that are like among our top five are like that sort of almost what you might call soggy, but you have it and you're like, this is about as close as you can get to like just like splitting up a fry or like a potato with a laser cutter and like eating that in fry form.
Can I just say that I thought my life was a joke, my job was a joke, until I met you two.
What?
Wow.
What? How do you get a job like that?
Yeah.
You pitch the story?
You pitch the story to the Chicago Tribune, and that's it.
People
and,
are picky about fries, so I like that you didn't just keep it, you know, crispy fries, because some people don't like them overly crispy.
Or straight or crinkle.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many different options.
Variety.
The problem with super crisp is that you lose the potato flavor, and so you get the textural component, but so Jimmy's, which was our number three pick. Which
Can we all try Jimmy's? Where is Jimmy's?
We should
Jimmy's
do this like the NFL yellow? Draft with a third pick in the Chicago Tribune French Fry Draft.
Oh, Jimmy's is in the yellow?
Yeah, in the yellow paper.
Oh my gosh, I thought this was a hot dog.
There is a hot dog in there. So Jimmy's
because
Red Hot on the
Jimmy's
corner of, Pulaski and Grand. It's funny because as careful as like some of the other places are, they actually were, so one of the owners, he was saying that he just kind of goes and he gets whatever potatoes are, like they look best, the best deal, and fries them in a mixture that's a vegetable base. And this is kind of the softer
It's a soft
flavor.
So you guys have it in the wrapper here because a lot of places completely wrap the hot dog with the French fries. And I love, like Gene and Jude's does that.
Exactly.
I love that because all the flavor. And even Superdog packs them in the little box together.
Because when you're the Jimmy's and you order a hot dog, you don't have to ask for fries. They just
right.
Yeah, it just comes.
Exactly. Right.
It's a soft French fry, but you can taste the potato flavor
absolutely.
Right away.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good about it. And they're a thicker cut, and so there's more of that creamy sort of mashed potato texture.
Is there any seasoning on this?
A little bit.
It's a coloring, too, on this.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not that white potato look. It's got a nice color to it.
Yeah.
Brown.
And that is exactly what you're saying. It's like it's really important that all the fries were cooked well, not overdone, but like perfectly done. Because, you know, we have some great fries, but some of the ones that we didn't quite make our final list was that there was a little inconsistency. We've all had a fry that was kind of like slightly underdone. Mm-hmm. And every single one of our top 20, we visited over and over, and they were like perfect every single time.
They see you coming and they're like, oh, geez, here they are.
Yeah. These places are good fry makers.
They
have no idea. They're so busy. They don't care who we are.
No, they don't care.
So those are really, really good.
What was number one? Number one.
We're going to skip two? Go 3-1?
We should go to two. I'm sorry. Jimmy's was number three. Okay. All right. So would you like to move to number two?
Yeah.
Okay. What's number two?
I apologize.
Is Red Hot Ranch for... Which is this one right
This
there.
Is Red Hot Ranch, and we
they
went
have
to
a reddish flavor. Reddish color.
So we went to the location on Western in Logan Square.
Yep.
And they are really, of course, well known for not only their hot dog and their burger and their fried shrimp, but their fries, again, also fresh cut potatoes.
Very crispy.
A little crispier. Yeah, a little crispier. And of course, Nick actually really insisted on tasting the fries as soon as it hit the table, as soon as we got them, or the counter, or whatever. Yeah,
right.
So you're tasting it like not at its optimist prime, you know?
Still
I mean,
good.
So yeah, exactly.
Fries really are fine. Tough to travel.
Exactly, totally. And so it's really tough to get an idea of how perfect they are when you get them. But yeah, they hold their crisp, clean edged lines.
A little sweeter, too.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's. Pinch sweeter, right? Yep.
It's interesting, too, because I feel like you can taste the difference in the oil that's used because two is very different tasting than one. Mm-hmm. And it's a preference of what the oil is that you like.
It's like a crunchier outside, but still very soft on the inside.
I agree. Yeah. I was just going to mention that, Laura. Nice.
These are right up my alley.
Yeah. I love that these are so oddly shaped, too. Mm-hmm. There's not one that's like the same size as the other. So they all have little different variations in their texture.
Does that mean it's hand cut and they're not using a fry cutter?
They are using a fry cutter, but they're probably just a little more haphazard with how they're moving it around.
Right. Like the burnt ones, too.
Yeah.
Little burnt edges.
Yeah, that's exactly. Actually, I call that sort of the fry connoisseurs, like exploded ends. You know, when
like-minded people,
right?
Louisa,
exactly.
You and I.
When those ends, when you first get them out and you get a basket, and like the end is almost like somebody crushed like a potato chip and stuck it on the end. You know, it's so incredibly good. Yeah.
Can we move on to number one?
Wait, hold on. I got to take a break before we get to number one.
Okay.
Where can people find the entire list of the French fries from you two?
At the Chicago Tribune website, chicagotribune.com/dining, and it's at the top of our page. And
were you guys posting on Twitter, too?
Yeah. So for sure, on our Twitter
Instagram.
Link. Yep.
I love following Nick on Twitter because it gets heated. Because Chicago, everyone has an opinion about everything when it comes to food. French fries, hot dogs, pizzas.
Right.
No matter. Last time Nick was in here, we did the burger. And Nick and I had some major disagreements on the list.
But right now,
I got no arguments here, Nick. This
Nothing
is
at all.
Yeah.
Nick, what are you on Twitter? Nick DK. On Twitter.
Okay. And Louisa?
Louisa Chu.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we'll find out the number one fry under $5 in Chicago.
Delicious.
Next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. In studio with us is Nick Kindlesperger. Nick, I hope I'm not butchering your name. Am I doing it right?
Nick Kindlesperger. I deserve
Kindlesperger
it with a name like that.
And Louisa Chu from the Chicago Tribune dining section. We're talking about best fries under $5 in Chicago at number three. Jimmy's Hot Dogs, Red Hot Ranch was number two. Mm-hmm. And by the way, before we do number one, someone said about, what was the text? Pete, don't forget about the steak fry where the outside has a good crisp, but the inside has almost a buttery nothingness. Mm. Does that ring a bell?
The steak fries.
Steak fry?
You mean like a steak fry style?
It's probably steak fry. Yeah.
Well, we couldn't find
that was a text,
any.
By
I
the
looked
way.
For some, but I couldn't find any good ones.
Fresh Do cut, they fresh count, cuts. Though, because they're cut differently, and these are all cut through the fry cutter?
Well, steak fries, are a little thicker, and I've not had many good versions.
Yeah.
So if this person would let me know where.
I don't like an overly thick French fry, because then the middle's dried up.
That's a potato.
Yeah.
Well, you're very opinionated about your food.
Food, no question.
For a guy that's inhaling like he's going to the electric chair.
That's actually,
Pete's sweating. He's swallowed a a sport pepper hole over there.
I ate that hot dog with the peppers on it during the commercial. I just inhaled it. Where was the dog from?
Jimmy's Red Hot.
So good.
One of the secrets about Jimmy's is that you can get actually all of the hot dog toppings for your fries for free. And that is actually available at quite a few of the places that we had French fries. So you don't need to miss out on the sport pepper sweat that you're having there if you're having just fries.
Because Jimmy's
you
know? Is also one of the places that refuses to have ketchup in the building.
Thank you for that.
They have signs all over
the building. Thank you for that, Nick, because I had that argument with Jane, who puts ketchup on her hot dog, and Ella, who is behind you.
But so no ketchup on the fries either.
Not at Jimmy's. Some places will have ketchup only for the fries, not for the hot dog.
Right.
I mean, you can, but
how can they police that, to be honest?
Well, they'll just look the other way.
They pick you by your neck and your belt, and they just shoot you out the door.
All right, can we go to the number one? What is the number one French fry, according to you two?
So the number one French fry is Mr. D's Shish Kebab, and that's in the Montclair neighborhood on the northwest side. And you're holding up one of the fries.
It's a very limp fry. So
right now it
is. That's all I'm saying.
But when it comes out, so they actually use the same potatoes that they use at steakhouses. So you go to like any of the steakhouses where you get like a $20 baked potato, they're using those same gigantic football-sized potatoes. And they cut fries so long. I mean, like they could barely fit it in one of those like, we have like a bunch of these silver sheet trays, you know, that like banquet trays. And they're so incredibly long. And
they're like little worms.
Right.
Okay. Well, long
worms. Delicious
potato
really
long. Delicious
potato worms.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes. Potato no, they're delicious. Right. They're just long. Makes
they're so incredibly long. And so when they fry them, they're just like barely crisp on the outside. And what Nick and I discovered is that their insides are like, when we taste them on our final round, which is like three rounds of tasting, we're like, it's like they stuffed them with mashed potatoes. Like they somehow like piped mashed potatoes into a crispy shell.
It does, it does seem most potato-y to me.
Yeah.
Like it's just very straightforward potato.
Mm-hmm. And
where the other ones, you could almost taste a little more of the oil or the
this one we found out that they don't really fry good. Just in vegetable oil, that they also use beef tallow, which gives them a little bit of an edge, I think.
It does have that flavor, but you're right, it's like a mashed potato inside a French fry.
Wow, that's really good.
And they insist, they're like, oh, we just use the same fat that everyone else does, but the way that they do it, they know exactly the temperature, exactly like when is optimum time. It was funny because when John, who is the son of Mr. D, came by. He looked at the fry. He's like, I wish those were a little crisper for you. And I'm like, are you crazy? These are like so incredibly perfect already as it is. And he could tell from just like looking across the room. It was so amazing, their attention to detail. It's I was saying it's like the Japanese tea ceremony of French fries when you watch them.
You have to go and watch them do
it's mesmerizing.
The amount of care that they put into it is just astonishing.
Yeah.
Like if you look at Red Hot Ranch, these were great fries, but they're a little, you know, like just your fries.
Yeah.
This is, you watch them and every step of the way is just flawless.
Like what's everybody's favorite? We'll do a whip around, Jane.
I think number one.
Number one?
Yeah,
okay.
I gotta go with number one too. I would love to try it crispy, like right out of the oven, like you were talking about. Because I do like a crispy fry, but the flavor is phenomenal.
Yep. Kev?
What was number two again?
Number two was Red Hot Ranch.
Number two was number one for me.
That was me, too. Mm-hmm. Number two was number one.
There you go.
Awesome.
But
they're
all good.
They are great.
What Lisa and Nick, when you guys are voting on this best fry or best anything, and you take the bite, do you just communicate? You have the aha eyes like, oh, this is it.
We had to go. We picked the top eight that we wanted to do, and then we went back on one day and tried all of them together.
Right.
So that way we would be sure that we would have the best one.
Yep. Give your Twitter again, Louisa.
At Louisa Chu.
Okay, and Nick?
At Nick DK.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you so much for having
us. And remember, go to chicagotribune.com and you'll find the entire French fry list right there.
For sure.
All right, it's 720 WGN. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey.
All right. First of all, I was writing that down. Could you go through that NMLS number again for me?
NMLS 112-4061.
Bro keeps track of these. Yeah. He just wants to make sure everything's the way it should be.
In compliance.
I had a hot dog with peppers on it during commercial, and I'm sweating, and my lips are on fire.
You can barely speak.
Other than that, it was delicious.
Did you park between the lines when you pulled in today and everything? Just making sure everybody's following all the rules today.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good to hear.
Yeah. Great to see you guys. We got to walk down and say hello. I didn't even see you.
Well, they'll be in a show.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you very much.
Jane's very considerate.
We are in a show. We are dedicated professionals, incredibly focused.
Let me bring the French fries down.
Yes, we'll bring you some fries.
Well, then you can come on down.
And hot dogs.
Yeah, all right. Bring it on down. Where'd you get it from?
three wonderful places.
Yeah, the Chicago Tribune brought them in.
Oh,
top three French fries in the city.
Yeah.
You know, Anna and I share a passion for the what I still consider to be the greatest hot dog joint in Chicago history.
Yes, we do.
And everybody wants to fight with everybody else about these things.
All right, go ahead.
But really, Flukey's is the is it.
Flukey's. I wonder if that made the list for fries too.
Well, Flukey's is no longer with us.
Unfortunately, it was so good. I grew up on Western Avenue near where I grew up, Rogers Park.
Yeah.
And they used to give kids the little hot dog gums.
Yeah.
With your order, and I was like, oh, I look forward to that.
Right.
Almost as much as the hot dog.
Yeah, it's more important than the hot dog. Really, you got the hot dog gum. Yeah.
And they have great fries. You guys share that. That's together.
Do.
That's lovely.
Yeah. It's a wonderful moment.
Thank you very much. Well, we're Northside kids. What are you gonna do? Yeah. And don't you know
Hey, Chicago, Northside.
We don't need a bunch we need of these pretenders from the South Side telling us what to do.
Hey, wait a minute, Iota.
All right. Thank you, kids.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye.